Termination for convenience. It sounds bad, but it's a power the government has over contracts it awards. Contractors, well, they're just out of luck. But the contracting officer's power is not unlimited. He or she has to act in good faith, as one agency found out in the Court of Federal Claims. With more on this case, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Joe, good to have you back.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so tell us about this case. It was something that a partial termination of a contract, which I guess seemed kind of odd.
Yes, it's a fairly long decision in the case of SecureForce at the Court of Federal Claims, fairly recent decision. And part of the contract was terminated for default, and the contractor lost that part of the case. But another part of the contract had previously been terminated for the convenience of the government, and that's the part that was rather interesting. Termination for convenience, as you've said, is a very broad power the government has to cancel a contract when it's in the government's best interest. And when they do that, the government's not liable for lost profit, the contractor's lost profit on the canceled work. So it does greatly limit the government's obligations after termination for convenience. And, you know, since the term is convenience, then this test is best interests. The standards are very broad, and it's fairly loose sort of thing, but not without its limits.
Do we know how often the government tends to actually terminate for convenience? Because most of the cases you read about, they spend and spend and spend and spend no matter how badly a contract is going.
Well, right. If the government needs what the contractor is providing and the contractor is doing a decent job of providing it, you know, the government tends to try to work things out with the contractor. But when things get too difficult or they decide they don't need what the contractor is providing, then contracts can be terminated for the government's convenience. It's a very powerful business tool the government has. In this case, however, they went too far. The limit, as you said, is that the government can't terminate a contract in bad faith, and that's very hard to prove. One example of where it was proven was where the government terminates a contract in order to get a better price that it knew of before it entered into the contract. So the courts have held that that's bad faith.
Now, in this case, this was under the Army's support contract for overseas fuel, correct?
Exactly. It's a contract to deliver fuel to a variety of Department of State locations in Afghanistan. And the contract was one that had, I'm sorry, I think it was back, it was Iraq. The contract is one in which the Department of State was co-located with DOD in a number of areas, but had their own locations in a couple of places. And within the areas where the Department of State was not co-located with the Department of Defense, there was an issue that made things complicated. The contractor had said they were going to get fuel from Kuwait, and in order to do that, the DOD had to get a waiver of the Trade Agreements Act from the United States Trade Representative. In this case, rather than do that, they went ahead and terminated the contract for convenience for those locations, locations where state wasn't co-located with DOD. The problem arose when the contractor in litigation deposed the contracting officer. The contractor said, well, why did you terminate the contract for convenience? And was that your decision to do so? And she said, no, it was my supervisor's decision. And they asked, again, did you reach an independent conclusion that it was in the government's best interest, or did you just do what your supervisor asked you to do? And the answer was, I did not have an independent decision. And that ran counter to a doctrine that's reasonably well established in law that says the contracting officer needs to exercise his or her own personal and independent judgment. Not having done that, this contracting officer had abused her discretion, and the court was able to find that the termination for convenience was improper.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo, procurement attorney of the Washington firm Petrillo & Powell. This one seems strange, because would not a contracting officer or any government employee then be guilty of insubordination if they failed to carry out a business-related order given by a supervisor?
Well, presumably not in this instance. I mean, there is the doctrine that the contracting officer has to exercise his or her independent judgment and can't simply rely upon what a superior has told you. An idea here that contracting officers are not just the business agents for the government, but because of the extraordinary powers they have under government contract terms and conditions, they need to act in a quasi-judicial capacity. They need to be fair and even-handed in the way that they administer the contract. And that was something that the contracting officer basically admitted she hadn't done here, at least not in the sense of making up her own mind about things.
The flip side of this is that if you are a supervisor of contracting officers, that doesn't mean you can really order them to do specific contracting actions, maybe present facts that you might know, but you really can't interfere. It would be like interfering if you're a supervisor of judges.
Something like that, yes. There are limits to how much you can simply order folks around. They've got to use their own independent judgment, and they may very well come to the same conclusion that you come to. There's no reason the contracting officer can't rely on and take in information from others in the government, not just his or her superior, but technical staff, program staff, etc. And you would expect a contracting officer to gather that information when making such a determination.
And so in this case, there were certain line items, as you mentioned, the fuel to certain locations were terminated. And what did the court order to happen?
Well, in this instance, the termination for convenience was improper, so it amounts to a breach of contract. And now the case has been remanded to the parties, and they need to try to figure out what the appropriate compensation should be for the contractor for having the government having breached the contract with regard to those two locations. In this instance, the subtext, I think, was that the government was readily able to get waivers for the areas where DOD was co-located with the Department of State because they had that authority. But they had to go to the trade rep to get waivers for these other locations, these other two locations. And it did seem like they didn't even try to do that. They made no effort to get the waivers. You would hope that, in a contingency operation like this, the Office of Trade Representative would return that waiver request around very quickly, and unless there was a good reason not to, they would grant the request very quickly. No one tried here, so we don't know.
And a final point that you mentioned, a breach of contract is something the government is capable of committing, which is not correct, but that's different from a termination, which kind of sounds like a breach.
Well, yes. I mean, the main differences here, of course, are the damages for lost profits on the part of the contract you did not perform. That sort of thing you can't get under a termination for convenience, and even a termination for default, if it's overturned, becomes a termination for convenience. But those rules don't apply to a breach, and presumably the contractor here can obtain the profit it would have gained by performing those parts of the contract.
All right, lots of lessons in that one. Joe Petrillo of the law firm Petrillo & Powell, as always, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.